Every day I'm hustling.
Yeah, Rick Ross brings you into the Monty Show on Friday, March 2nd. Because the legend, the owner of many Wingstops and Checkers. Remember Checkers, the burger place?
Yeah.
Rick Ross could be, depending on who you believe, on his deathbed. Or Rick Ross just collapsed and almost died at his house. We're not really sure.
Sounds fine.
But Rick Ross is said to be on his deathbed, so we dedicate this show to Rick Ross, who is a pretty good cursor of rap music. Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah, Rick Ross could be dying. Let's talk some sports. We got to talk about odd NFL combine questions. Should Gordon Hayward play this year? Is Lonzo Ball really good? Why would Kevin Durant stay with the Golden State Warriors? Donald Trump lied about UCLA. Do you ever go to the mall or do you just rely on Amazon? See, most of my niggas really still deal cocaine. Man, I hope Rick Ross doesn't die. Seriously. I like Rick Ross. Am I the only Rick Ross fan in the world?
Nope.
Are you a Rick Ross guy?
It's on my iPad Pro, so it must be.
Yeah, I'm a big Rick Ross guy. Hope he's okay. I really do. What's up? Yeah, by the way, we got to talk a little Chelsea before the show ends today. We will do that as we have City this weekend on Sunday morning.
Good luck.
That's always tough. City's a very good club this year. Obviously, I think they've won the Premier League. Yes, yeah. I know it's only March, but they've won the Premier League. The question is, what else will they win? So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's talk about LeBron James and the Cavaliers to open up the Monty Show today. And I say that because they played a very interesting game last night. Not because it was the 76ers. It was interesting to watch them struggle last night. Are they a better team than they were before the trades? And do you have any concern about them going forward?
They're definitely a better team. I think they're playing more as a team now than they were before the trade deadline with their prior crew. As far as them going forward and being concerned about them, I'm not necessarily concerned isn't the word I would use. I think they just need to have a sense of urgency and show progression as a team. They need to learn how to play together. And I think once that starts happening, they're going to be a dangerous team. Last night, they couldn't seem to get past the 5 points down to the 76ers. I mean,
then just melted down.
Exactly. So they had finally pushed through, and then they just couldn't get over the hump. And I thought that was fascinating because when they got it down to 1 point, they were playing as a team. You saw a nice little alley-oop combination from George Hill to LeBron. You saw a lot of passing. You saw a lot of intricate play. But then they kind of went away from that, and you saw a lot of bad possessions. You saw a lot of quick threes.
I saw a lot of guys who were not on the same page.
Yeah.
And I think what we're seeing is the adjustment period that was inevitable when you bring in all of these new players. And clearly, I'm talking about the three-pointer and late in the game. With about 2.5 minutes to go, they get a huge three-pointer from Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
They come right back down and give up a wide-open three-pointer because Hood and Clarkson miscommunicated on the defensive assignment, which happens early in the year to a lot of teams.
Yeah,
because they haven't played together. They don't know each other. George Hill last night looked lifeless. Rodney Hood did not shoot well last night. Their best player of the new guys was probably Larry Nance.
Yeah.
I thought Nance played really well. LeBron carried the team, and this is the thing that I really worry about. Where is LeBron mentally with these new players? He had 30 last night, played pretty decent basketball, even though he was 12 for 24. Last night he was only 2 of 6 from three and looked ugly shooting threes at times.
Yeah.
But you look at George Hill, 7 points. He was a -7. Rodney Hood was 5 of 14, 1 of 5 from three and a -20.
Yeah.
A -20 from Rodney Hood.
Yeah.
I wonder how long LeBron is willing to be patient. Is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? Is it until the playoffs?
Number of games. I think it's 10 games. I think once you play 10 to 12 games together, you really should be able to to come together. You know, we're getting more Chelsea hate on Periscope here, but you know, I just think it takes time. And so, as far as LeBron's patient level, we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah,
LeBron's a patient guy. It seems. It seems like he's more willing to bring guys along instead of yell at them and tell them they suck. So I think
right now,
being that that's who LeBron is, I think they'll be fine. I really do. I don't think there's that much to worry about here. They do need to maintain their rank in the East, in the third position, because if you fall to fourth, that changes the landscape of your playoff run.
But here's the problem. Everybody said that Isaiah Thomas was the problem in Cleveland.
Right.
He's starting to find a home in Los Angeles, and it is amazing what he did last night. Isaiah Thomas, 11 of 20, 6 of 11 from 3. He was a plus 13 and scored 29 points.
Right.
Is there anything to be made of the idea that maybe it's difficult to play with LeBron James, and maybe that wasn't Isaiah Thomas's doing all of it? Now, certainly he wears some of it. But is there anything to the idea that maybe LeBron is I'm not going to say part of the quote-unquote problem, but maybe it's not easy to play with LeBron James?
Well, I think there's always some of that. When you play with a superstar, you're adjusting to his style of play. You're not really adjusting to Tyronn Lue's style of play. You're not adjusting to anybody else's style of play. You, as Larry Nance or Jordan Clarkson or whoever you want to name, you have to acclimate yourself to the way LeBron plays. So you have to understand, hey, when is LeBron going to kick the ball out versus, you know, when he's going to get really physical on the drive and try to take it to the hole? You have to understand what he's going to try and do. And I think right now they're still trying to learn that, you know, the role players are.
I think it's interesting watching the Lakers and the Cavs, because they're two teams in different positions who did pretty much the exact same thing. They traded large parts of their core. And if you look at who the Lakers traded, they got rid of Clarkson and Nance. And last night they start Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, Brooke Lopez, Lonzo Ball, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball was scintillating last night. This is a guy that played 34 minutes. His plus minus, and I know I'm a big believer in plus minus in the NBA. He was a plus 24, 3 of 5 from the floor. I get it. He scored 8 points on 5 shots.
Right.
That's really good. He was 2 of 3 from 3-point land. But more importantly than that, he had 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 steals, and only 2 turnovers.
Right.
He was their best player last night. And everybody's going to look at the box score and say, well, it was Isaiah Thomas. It wasn't Isaiah Thomas. What made Isaiah Thomas so effective last night was his ability to link up with Lonzo Ball. The thing after the game that worries you is Lonzo Ball says he's still feeling knee soreness, and he's still dealing with the knee ache that he had that sat him down. Well, then why are you getting in a dunk contest with Kyle Kuzma? He did say that.
No, I know. I know he said that. But what I'm saying is that you're an NBA player. Your knee, every NBA player has sore knees from time to time. And being
this is a guy coming off of a knee injury, though.
Yeah.
Why is he in a dunk contest with Kyle Kuzma after practice on Wednesday?
I don't know.
That's just not smart. So I just think it's very interesting. I see the way the Lakers are using their guys. I see that you are getting Kuzma 28 minutes and Isaiah Thomas 30 minutes off the bench. You very clearly see that Brooke Lopez, who, by the way, is shooting a really nice percentage from three, was 2 of 4 last night. They go to Miami and get a win. They score 131 points against one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. It's just an interesting comparison between Cleveland and the Lakers in that they both blew up their teams pretty well.
Well, the Lakers, I think the big difference is that the Lakers don't have a ton of pressure to win. They are winning. They are winning at a higher rate than they were last year.
Certainly.
But the Cavs have this massive amount of pressure, and obviously LeBron James himself has a lot of pressure to get deep into the playoffs and inevitably get back to the finals to face presumably the Warriors, you know?
Yep.
So I think when you're playing with that kind of pressure, there's a sense of urgency for the Cavs that, hey, we got to get this unit together. We got to gel now. We got to be able to play together and beat good teams in the playoffs, because at this point, it's not going to be some cakewalk. You're not going to get home court advantage throughout and all those little perks of being the one seed. That's not happening this year.
3-7 in the East is separated by 3 games.
Yeah.
It is going to be
tight.
A real meat grinder.
But that's
down
what I say,
stretch.
Like between 3-7, the Cavs are in the third slot. Those 4 teams behind them, if the Cavs lose 5-7 somehow, we're talking about a different seed for the Cavs at this point. So they can't really afford to lose at this point. They have to find a way to win.
I think it's going to be, I think it's asking a lot. I really do. And these videos now that are out of Gordon Hayward doing dribbling and jump shooting. And yeah, next week he's going to be able to run on a zero gravity treadmill. So like he's really ramping it up now.
Yeah.
And I know that Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens have said that, listen, Gordon's not coming back this year. And I think that's a bunch of hooey. I think you don't work as hard as he's working on basketball related things, dribbling, ball handling, shooting. You don't work on all those things if you're not trying to come back as quickly as possible.
Well,
he's trying to play this year. There's no doubt in my mind.
And I think, you know, if you're the Celtics right now, you have to assume, no, he's not going to be coming back. We're going to go into the playoffs without Gordon Hayward, and that's fine. We'll see how far we get. We think we're a good team. We think we're capable of beating the Raptors and the Cavs and whoever we might face, you know. So it would be nice to have him come back, but I certainly don't think you should be rushing Gordon Hayward back. He needs to come back at his own pace, and if he's choosing and feels that he can push the pace, then so be it.
I kind of look at where the Cavs are at and what their schedule looks like coming up, and I see that they have Denver and Detroit at home.
Should be wins.
I think those are not should be wins. Those are must wins because they go on a monster six-game trip to Denver, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Suns, the Blazers, and the Bulls. Oh, by the way, they come back home then to play Milwaukee and Toronto.
So you got to get your work done on that road trip.
Absolutely. And then they get Phoenix, Brooklyn, Miami at Charlotte, and then New Orleans. Their schedule's not easy. March is a real ball buster for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. And if they sputter, I think these next two home games are really important because they'll go on the road and they will win.
Right.
Every day that they're together as a team, they're going to be a little bit better. Jordan Clarkson's not going to hang on to the ball so much.
Yeah.
The ball doesn't move. He is a black hole for the basketball.
But isn't that what Isaiah Thomas is for the Lakers? And that's why he got 29 points last night, because we were sitting there watching that game and we said, wow, he's really holding the ball a lot. And if those shots hadn't gone in, those would be bad possessions.
Yeah, but IT got a lot of garbage baskets. He got a lot of baskets on the break. He got a lot of broken play baskets. He got Lonzo making an incredible pass fully across the court on the break to hit him for a three.
Yeah.
So I think some of that he created, but the more accurate comparison is, isn't this why Jordan Clarkson's not on the Lakers anymore? Because what does he do? He's a ball magnet. He gets the ball and he does not give it up. He's either going to shoot or get a layup and that's great. He can really score off the bench for them. But when you look at Larry Nance, who was the best of the new players last night, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge problem. Bottom line, do the Cavs have home court advantage in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they do.
I think they do, too. I think they figured this out. I think Lonzo, if he can keep playing, I think is very good. Hey, how about your guy, Kevin Durant, saying that he will not opt out of his contract and he will stay and honor the deal he has with Golden State next year?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think that's what you should do. It's absolutely what you should do. I think, you know, he took a lot of heat for going to the Warriors, but I think this show of faith, if you will, shows that he actually wants to stay and he likes what they have.
But what does that mean, a show of faith?
Because he could opt out and he could ask for a lot more money and a max deal.
Dude, he's getting 26.2.
I know, but he could still opt out and he could still play that game. But he's not going to do that, just like everybody else before he was there. You remember that a lot of guys signed for a lot less money, and Klay Thompson has come out and said, I will sign for less to stay. So they have the right group of guys there, and if guys like KD are taking, you know, their share and maybe are willing to take a little bit less, then they're in good shape.
He's 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's played 11 seasons in the NBA.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, in basketball earnings, has made $157,183,333. I said $157.2 million.
Yeah.
And he's going to make 26.2 more next year.
What happens when you're one of the best, man?
That's amazing to me, the kind of money he's made.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, he's going to have another max contract after in 2019-2020.
Yes.
At 30 years old, he's probably going to get a five-year max deal.
That's just NBA money. That's not talking about the Nike money.
No. Oh, no. Just in basketball cash.
That's it.
$157.2 million.
He'll be well past $200 million
for Kevin. $200 million? Guy, he's going to be pushing $300 million.
Yeah.
He's at 157.2 today.
Yeah.
Today. He'll be at 177 after next season.
Yeah.
$200 million. He's pushing $300 milli that Kevin Durant's made on the floor. That's unbelievable money. Unbelievable money. Let me ask you about our obsession with Donald Trump and the Ball family. Because there was a fascinating story today. And you remember all of the stories about how Donald Trump saved the UCLA basketball players. And LaVar said he really didn't do anything. And everybody vilified LaVar Ball and said, how could he disrespect the president? And the president tweets back at him that, oh, I should have left the kids in jail. Would it surprise you if it turned out that, yeah, Donald Trump had nothing to do, with the three UCLA basketball players getting out of jail? Because that's the story that has emerged today. I saw the story on Deadspin, but you can find it on my Twitter feed and 100 other places. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill were arrested for shoplifting during the team's trip to China in early November. Donald Trump was supposedly the guy that freed them.
Right.
But a New York Times story, when they tweeted the headline, how Trump helped liberate UCLA knuckleheads, and said that the president intervened on the players' behalf while he was meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
It turns out that's completely not true.
We determined that was a lie.
White House Chief of Staff John Kelly told the New York Times that he spoke to the players, and while they were under house arrest, and told them that Trump had pulled some strings for them. And this all turned out to be a lie. According to a team source cited in an ESPN report, the players were not under house arrest when Trump got involved and had, in fact, already had their passports returned to them and their flights home were booked by UCLA. Quote, the players were already checked into hotels before the public discovered they were arrested, a UCLA source said. They also were not under house arrest. It was UCLA's decision to keep them at the hotel until the situation was resolved. The charges had already been dropped. They were not reduced. Let me get this right. They were dropped, not reduced. And that happened 2 days before General Kelly and Donald Trump ever got involved.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to say this on the Monty Show. LaVar Ball was right.
Damn it.
LaVar Ball was right. LiAngelo and the other two players didn't owe Donald Trump an apology and a thank you.
Yeah.
UCLA and those players took care of themselves. I'm stunned by this. Like, okay, we can talk about trade tariffs. We can talk about assault rifles. But you're completely lying and just making up a story.
Yep. Just trying to take advantage of an opportunity as the president.
And not to be redundant, but what did I say on this show when this story broke? Oh, LiAngelo Ball should have apologized. This is the first time that Donald Trump has done exactly as president what he should have done. Way to go, Donald.
Yeah.
This is exactly,
well, but that's exactly
what
why
you
he
should
did
have
it.
Done.
That's exactly why he did it.
Well, he didn't do it. And it really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying that those kids were right for what they did. They were not. But it turns out that UCLA handled the situation.
Yeah.
Let me repeat. Before Donald Trump and the Chinese president met, and before General Kelly went to the media, they had their passports, the charges were dropped, and they, by the way, were never under house arrest at this hotel. UCLA said, you need to stay in the hotel.
Yeah.
Until this is resolved. And before the team left, because they actually left the three players there, they had given them their passports back. The school, and one of the stories, and I think it was on sportingnews.com, one of the stories was saying that the government never took the kids' passports away. Never took them away. There were no charges. to be dropped or initially, that UCLA said to them, you're not leaving the hotel and we're taking your passports. We're holding your passports, which, by the way, as the story also points out, UCLA already had their passports because they don't want the kids to lose them.
Yeah, which is smart, very smart.
So their passports were never taken away. And UCLA, before they left, said, here are your passports. Here are your travel arrangements. You're going back home.
Yeah.
This is, it just really bothers me that we have a president in this country that will lie at the expense of these kids, take complete credit for this when he had nothing to do with it at all. That really bothers me.
And, as it should.
And I know we talk a lot of politics on this show in general, and I'm not getting into the gun violence thing or the fact that everybody's quitting his administration or that the story came out today that he snapped on this trade tariff thing and went off script and did not tell anybody he was doing this. He got all pissed off and said, we're putting in tariffs on this steel and aluminum tariff that's going to take place next week. And never mind that that cost us 750 points on the Dow. Like, this guy is... When the president of the United States is a liar and you cannot trust him, and I, as an American, sit here and say to myself, this effing guy,
this guy
is a liar. Like, how do you, as a Trump voter, rationalize this? Because let's just recap. This guy's pissed off the NRA now, who was a major Trump supporter because Trump said, we're going to get the guns. He literally said in front of God and everybody, Mike Pence, the anti-abortion, women should be exterminated vice president of the United States, is sitting at a table saying we have to abide by the Second Amendment and follow due process. You know, he's actually talking like a fucking level-headed politician. And Donald Trump says, well, I don't care about due process or the Second Amendment. We're getting the guns. We're taking the guns. We'll go to court later. Donald Trump literally says to them, well, you know, we can take the guns first because we won't be in court for years. And by then, the guns are off the street. Now, holy hell, I actually agree with him on that. Take the guns. What are you going to do? Sue me? Okay, we melted your gun down. Sorry about that. Right? Like, I it's not even that I disagree with it. But Mike Pence, who's one of the worst human beings on earth and thinks gays should be killed, was the voice of reason at this table. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump's a liar, which I guess, shame on me, fool me nine times. I should have known that already. Okay, I'll stop, because now I'm just ripping on the president mercilessly. But, so it turns out LeVar Ball was... That's the level that this president has fallen to. LeVar Ball was more honest, is more honest than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So about those security clearances. Anyway, here nor there. Does it surprise you at all?
That he lied? No, it doesn't surprise me even a little bit because I don't remember what was going on. I'm sure there was something negative that he was, you know, would have loved to kind of push to the side.
Are you sure?
I you know, I might be a little off base here, but I don't think it's unfair to say that the president likes to push off the fake news, negative news stories, and slide in there the UCLA, hey, I saved these kids, I was being a great ambassador for the United States. They were in jail in China.
No collusion! Bob Mueller's a dick! By the way, I saved the UCLA kids!
They were in jail being beaten to death.
I'm going to get the guns. What is it? The American president? I'm going to get the guns. Right? Like, yeah. Donald, I'm going to... If you haven't seen The American President, and I want to say it's... Who's the... Sheen is the president in that movie? Michael Douglas, thank you, is the president in that movie, right? And he's like, he's standing up there and he's like, I'm going to get the guns. We're going to do gun control or the weapon control thing the right way. I'm going to get the guns. Whatever.
We're getting a lot of hearts on Periscope right now. This is some entertaining
stuff. It's just so ridiculous.
Right,
it's so ridiculous that we have to go back to a movie from like 1947 in The American President, which actually I think was from the 90s.
That was before I was born.
But
wow.
I love that movie, by the way. I have to quote Michael Douglas as the president. Oh, Martin Sheen is in that movie, by the way, as his chief of staff. Anyway, point is, I'm going to get the guns, Bob. Mitt Romney would have been a better president. There, I said it. I feel better. Mittens would have been a better president. I'm not ready to say Hills would have been a better president, because that's probably not true. It's probably, well, okay. Hillary Clinton would have been a better president.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, I feel better now.
Okay.
Find me on Twitter with the pro Donald Trump hate for me, I'm sure. The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. I gotta get to this O.J. Simpson story.
Gnar.
Because you know that I am...
You're an O.J. guy, right? Like, you like O.J.?
I love that. O.J. Simpson?
That was a joke. I was kidding.
No, I like Donald Trump more than O.J. Simpson.
It was a joke.
I am oddly aroused when O.J. Simpson's guilty stories come out. Probably shouldn't have said it like that. Anyway, the point is, I get excited. A strike right, you mate.
Yes.
When there's an O.J. Simpson did it story, and this one happens to be with Fox. Fox and Friends?
Yes.
No, just Fox, the network. Not Fox and Friends. Donald's favorite show.
The Don.
Dutard. O.J. Simpson wrote this hypothetical book. You remember this. O.J. Simpson, who most people believe killed Ron and Nicole.
Yes.
Writes this book where he surmises, well, this is what it would have been like if I had actually done it.
Hello, you did do it, asshole.
Anyway, the point... What if I had actually done it? He does an interview with Fox.
Yeah.
To promote this book. The book eventually gets killed, and Fox decides that it was too inflammatory to play the interview.
Yeah.
10 years ago. Boom. It's been 10 years.
Let's go.
Let's play it.
Let
now.
It out.
So Simpson sets up a scenario in this Fox interview where he says that he went to Nicole's house the evening of June 12th, 1994. You were a year and a half old when this happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
June 12th, 1994, to quote, scare the crap out of Nicole.
Yeah.
OJ says he took the Bronco to her house with his quote unquote friend, who my wife believes was his son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, and I'm not saying not for nothing. My wife could be right. I mean, it never has happened before. Well, once when she married me. Anyway, point is, a lot of people think it's his son that's his quote-unquote friend. Hello, this is my friend that he took to Nicole's house. He took the Bronco to her home with his friend son, bought a knife, and put a hat and gloves on for dramatic effect. So wait, let me get this right. You went to your ex-wife's house, who you have beaten repeatedly, she's called the cops, you've domestically violenced her, so you thought it'd be a good idea to put on a mask, some leather gloves, if they do not fit, you must acquit, some leather gloves, Jake doesn't even know what that, Periscope, Jake doesn't even know what if they do not fit, you must acquit, God bless Johnny Cochran's soul. It's Friday. Anyway, so he puts on the, if they do not fit, you must acquit gloves, and gets a knife. Oh, I'm just going to scare her and slash her throat and almost decapitate her. And he says, well, you know, I put on the ski mask and the gloves, and the knife was in my hand. And I looked through the window and saw her lighting candles. And I thought to myself, you bitch. He realized that she may have a lover coming soon. It was in that moment
he knew
that Ron Goldman walked through Nicole Brown Simpson's gate at her apartment. OJ says he blacked out and came through. Mother Russia is on Periscope saying hello.
Yes, greetings, friend.
Yeah, you guys screwed with our elections. Anyway, the point is, OJ Simpson says that when Ron Goldman came through the gate, allegedly, because this is just what if he had done it.
Right, hypothetically.
He blacked out and came to covered in blood. Here, OJ, let me fill in what happened. You killed two people. You slashed Nicole Brown's throat so deeply that her head almost fell off. I don't know how many people realize that. Whoever did it, because, you know, OJ's still looking for the killers.
Right.
Whoever did it slashed Nicole Simpson's throat so deeply that her head almost fell off. It was almost a decapitation. And you gored Ron Goldman to death, right? So I don't know what you say about this, man. You murdered two people, and now Fox is going to air this interview. Like, are you going to watch?
Oh, yeah.
Heck yes.
Hell yeah.
You have to watch, have right? To. Like, yeah. O.J. Simpson is that guy, and it's one of those things that I've never understood. Because I'm fascinated with it. The O.J. trial, I remember watching it with my parents. I remember vividly watching it in good old West Lafayette, Indiana. Go Boilers. I remember watching it in the house with my parents. I remember that I was in Zion, Illinois, watching the infamous Bronco chase on TV. Like, I remember it vividly, right? And every time that there is an O.J. Simpson story,
yeah,
I freaking go right to it. Absolutely go right to it. And I'm going to watch this. I am going to watch it.
I think the nation goes right to it. Like, everybody goes right to it.
But do you care? Like, you were 1 year old when this happened.
It doesn't hit me the way it hits you, but it's still, I gravitate to it. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
I love the story. I absolutely love the story. I think it is, I want him to admit that he killed them. That'll never happen.
No.
That'll never happen, right? But I want him to admit it.
Yeah, you can keep hoping. That's never going to happen.
Hey, let's talk about Amazon real quick as well. Amazon, I think, is a must. So I have a full-on Alexa. I don't even know what you call it. And I have the big tall tower one, and I have an Echo. The Echo's in my room, and they work fine. It's great. I actually play music off of it. I have it turn on my lights. I ask the weather. I ask sports scores. I ask her if I say, Alexa, are you in love with me?
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Alexa, are you in love with me? She won't even answer me right now.
She hates it.
Boom!
You got friend zoned.
She loves me as a friend.
You got friend zoned right there.
But I like doing that. I think it's fun. But Amazon, I think Amazon has become a must in every American home.
Yeah.
I don't know how people survive. Like, what do we buy on Amazon? Protein Everything. Powder, pre-workout.
Yep.
All of our supplements, all of our vitamins, tripods.
Cases for my iPad, cases for computers, anything.
Computer
tech,
cables, phone cables.
Anything car.
Food. We got steaks and sliders for the Super Bowl on Amazon.
Not to mention the treasure truck.
The treasure truck. My wife is a huge treasure truck provider. Like, she is an Amazon Prime member, so she gets all the treasure truck stuff. Do you know what the treasure truck is? It's where they send you texts and emails saying, hey, on the Amazon treasure truck today, O.J. Simpson did it. What if I actually did it? $3.99 a copy. You got to be at 4th and Main at 4 o'clock. And it's a treasure truck. They blow bubbles and balloons, and
yeah,
you
fun.
Play golf. Like, it's an experience, right?
Right?
Oh, by the way, you get things for really cheap that are really good.
Yeah.
So the treasure truck, just there's all kinds of stuff. And now, because the guy that owns Amazon is a complete baller, Bezos or whatever the hell his name is,
yeah.
He bought Whole Foods. And I love Whole Foods, but see, I'm poor, so I can't afford to shop at Whole Foods on the regular. And now I can, because they've slashed the prices not once, not twice, now a third time at Whole Foods. They've reduced prices because Amazon wants to make it more available. If you're an Amazon Prime member, which I am through my wonderfully talented and beautiful wife, you get a discount now at Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Whole Foods now delivers through Amazon. You get special products only available to Amazon Prime members at Whole Foods.
Right.
They now have Amazon lockers at most Whole Foods, and within 3 years, every Whole Foods will have an Amazon locker. I think it's brilliant.
It is.
I think it
is. It's domination.
But we don't shop the way we used to shop. I don't go to... One of the great disappointments for me is I'm a shoe guy. I'm a huge, huge shoe guy. But I went to House of Hoops in LA probably a decade ago now and fell in love. They took me back at the House of Hoops in Beverly Hills at the Beverly Center.
Yeah.
This was in 2010, I think. I go in there and I'm like, hey, you know, I wear a size 15. What do you got? They're like, well, why don't you just come back in the stock room and you can see it. They had a whole section of size 15s. Straight right, you mate. Like, blood flowing to the lower extremity. It was amazing. I got 3 pairs of Kobe's, including the Bruce Lee's. I got Jordans there. Like, everything you've ever wanted. I went to House of Hoops last weekend. They had not one size 15 in anything.
But this is also Phoenix, not LA. It's different.
It's House of Hoops by Foot Locker, right?
It's different.
It's House of Hoops.
I know it is, but it's different here.
Can I go to the mall and get a size 15 no. anything? Pretty much not anymore. It used to be I could get anything. Now I can't get anything.
Right.
I can order my shoes through the Nike Sneakers app,
yeah.
and they'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
In any size that I want. Pretty yeah. much any shoe I want.
Yeah.
So I don't need to go to the mall. I can get them tomorrow. When's the last time you said, man, I need to go to the mall for X, Y, or Z? Or are you you're the guy that goes to the mall to be to people watch?
Oh, no. The only time I ever go to the mall is if I have to. And I people watch while I'm there. I don't go to the mall just to people watch. We have enough of that driving around every day.
The only time I ever go to the mall now is my wife got one of these Nespresso Keurig ripoff coffee machines
right.
that in the end turned out to be much better than a Keurig K-cup making machine that kills the earth.
Thing.
You know that thing. I don't drink coffee. No yeah. kidding. I'm not a coffee drinker, so
right,
to
right.
hell with Keurig or K-cups or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn about Nespresso or any of these other gadget machines. So we go there this past weekend. We dropped $181. I don't get a new pair of shoes, but that woman gets $181 in coffee and supplies. She got a milk frother. It's like I've given her diamonds.
The world stopped.
I've given her diamonds. I've given her perfume. Golden.
You're going to Dublin.
Like platinum sparkled thongs.
Okay, that was probably too far.
That's true. I've given her see-through edible underwear. Like
okay,
all
again,
this
too
great.
Far. Too far. Too far.
Okay, TMI. The point is, I've given her a lot of great gifts. I
we
love
get it.
Giving
yeah,
gifts,
we
right?
We get it. You're a giver.
There was nothing more exciting than, oh, honey, they have a milk frother over there.
Okay, I can see how this is going down a very different road very quickly.
Can we get that milk frother? How much is it? $150. The hell you... We spent $150 on that. Happy wife, happy life.
You know what $150 gets you?
Yeah, a pair
of... KD10 amp pearls.
Yeah. Did I get those?
No.
No. Did
no.
she get a milk frother?
Yes.
Yes, she
yes.
did.
Winner. Chicken no. dinner.
That's the way it goes around this house. The point is... I don't go to the mall unless I need to spend money for my wife.
The reason we went to the mall was because my cousin, Cassidy, who goes to ASU, needed to get a bunch of stuff. That was the only reason we
okay,
went.
Okay, so...
Literally the only reason we went.
I'm not asking you to kidnap her or anything. I'm just saying... My mother-in-law is quite wealthy, right?
Right.
So, like, don't kidnap her. That's not good. Anyway, the point is, my mother-in-law is quite wealthy.
Uh-huh.
My mother-in-law enjoys spending money on other people.
Right.
She's never bought me anything. Whatever.
Are you sure?
No, she probably has. Anyway, the point is, my mother-in-law, who's old, I'm totally being a jerk. My mother-in-law is wealthy, right?
Right, right.
So she comes into town, and she says to you guys, hey, let's go in this really expensive store, and I'll buy you something, right? You paid $120 for a polo shirt.
I didn't.
My mother-in-law bought you a $120 polo shirt.
Correct.
That's why I don't go to the mall. Because you walk into a store in the mall, and bro, you're paying for the store that you're walking into. Yeah, sure, they have polo shirts.
Right.
But you're paying for the light bill and the carpet cleaner and the racks and the chicks and, like, you're paying
and the
for...
the racks,
you're
yeah.
paying the chicks and the racks and the racks for the chicks and, like, you're paying for all of that.
Right.
You're then going to pay for the clothing as well.
Yeah.
Why would you spend $120 on a polo shirt, man?
It's when nice
you
can get, hey, it's a nice polo
You can
shirt.
Get that same polo shirt online, I guarantee you, for less than that. What was the name of that store?
Ted Baker.
Ted Baker. Never heard of it. Sounds expensive. Ted Baker sounds like a dick. Anyway, the point is, the mall is just dead. Like, who shops at the mall?
It was pretty busy when we were there.
Yeah. I mean, the...
But I will say retail on the whole is going out. There's no doubt.
It is. And that's why this Amazon takeover of Whole Foods is so brilliant.
It's too easy. I mean, it's domination, literally. I mean,
it's
you're
brilliant.
Seeing marketplace domination by Amazon. It's amazing.
I'm telling you, man. And I don't
it's
know
over.
How... I don't even know how you explain it. Because shopping in general has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, before we go... It's a huge movie weekend.
Yitch.
You are taking your young filly to the movies tonight.
Mm.
What are you going to see tonight?
We're seeing Red Sparrow.
You are?
Yeah.
You're seeing Red Sparrow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I am a Howard Stern listener.
We. Two O's and Goose.
So I subscribe to Sirius Satellite Radio, Howard 101. We listen to Howard Stern every day in the car.
Yeah.
He had Jennifer Lawrence on the show this week.
Yeah.
And she was promoting Red Sparrow.
Outstanding interview.
It turns out, thank you, Howie. Howard Stern let us know that there is a raunchy, hot, steamy sex scene in this movie.
Apparently.
With full frontal nudity. The problem is guy parts are on display, which always makes me a little uncomfortable.
Right.
But Red Sparrow looks really good. I haven't seen Black Panther yet.
Me either.
I have not seen Game Night yet.
Me either.
And I really want to see Bruce Willis's new film, Death Wish.
And I feel like that's the dark horse of the movies you just named. I feel like his movie's kind of flying under the radar, but I want to see that too.
So you're going to see Red Sparrow?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you seeing Red Sparrow?
Because I want to see it.
Because of the Howard Stern interview?
No, because it's... I think Jennifer Lawrence is one of the best actresses we've seen. I think
she's the highest paid female actress
in
Hollywood.
Yeah, but the money doesn't matter to me when I'm talking about quality of acting. Like, she made the money, sure.
Is she hot?
Yeah, she is.
She is hot. I don't know if she's hot. Like, one of the things she talked about on the Howard Stern show was that she and Bradley Cooper have never had sex.
Right.
Which I found stunning, because her and Bradley Cooper... should have sex, right? Like, they've been in movies together. They have this unbelievable chemistry.
Yeah.
They've never... you know how you
she
meet...
She said it just didn't happen. Like,
you know how you meet two people, like me and your girlfriend, and you're like, hey, you got... No, I won't say it. Anyway, the point is, you know how you see two people? You see... Yeah, if you want to have sex, play Drake. Because trust me, guys, if you put Drake on while you're trying to get some sex, you're going to get sex. Anyway, point is... you know how you see two people and you're like, those two people should make a child.
Yes.
Right? Like, they should repopulate
Bradley Cooper
the earth.
And Jennifer Lawrence, boom.
They need to hit them.
Boom.
They
I
because
mean, perfect
there's
match.
There's chemistry there. And you're a millennial, so you don't get this. But when you meet somebody in person, there's just something that, like, the first time I ever met my wife, there was just something there. There was just something there. Yeah, I met my wife on AOL Instant Messenger, by the way. You don't know what AOL Instant Messenger
is.
It's
I
a chat bot thing.
Right.
Anyway.
It was your Tinder.
Yeah, it was. No, it was not. It was, you're an idiot.
Well,
it was
turned
not
out to
my
be.
Tinder.
It actually turned out to be. It turned out to be. No?
No. Okay. What's a hookup app? Okay, well, Tinder's a hookup app, I guess. AOL Instant Messenger was awesome. Anyway, so we went to National Sports Bar in Covina, California.
So good.
That was our first date. It was amazing. Anyway, there's just something when you meet somebody in person for the first time, you're like, boom, I'm getting that.
Boom.
That's, she's the one. Like, you know it. Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, their child would have the most beautiful hair that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it would be amazing. Red Sparrow looks really good. It's a spy film, spy flick. She's a Russian spy. She said that apparently the hardest thing in this movie is her Russian accent. She's never done an accent before.
She was nervous about sounding like an idiot.
She sounds like a Russian in this movie. I want to see that. I really want to see Black Panther, but now so many people have built it up to be this amazing movie that I'm worried I'll be
disappointed. Yeah.
I really am quite worried about that, and let's be honest, who drives a Lexus? I don't. So there's a Lexus in that movie. You know. I think it's Death Wish. I loved you. You don't even know who Charles Bronson is.
I know the name.
You've never seen. This is what bothers me. Charles Bronson.
Here we go.
I'm gonna hell with Charles Bronson.
Here we go.
He's no Bradley Cooper. Charles Bronson was an amazing actor. Death Wish is a Charles Bronson remake. And
your generation, not mine.
I know. I'm old. I get it.
I never said you were old.
We get it.
I said
it
was your generation, not mine.
I know. I'm old. Anyway, before we leave you, I must talk about Chelsea football. A lot of bad things. Antonio Conte today did it again. He took a shot at the Chelsea board when he basically said you have to have talent to win and you have to be on the same page, and they're not. And the dismantling of Arsenal might look tame when the summer rolls around for Chelsea, because I think we're going to lose Thibaut Courtois, I think, is probably going to wind up at PSG. By the way, why would you go play at PSG? What, like, why? That's a nothing league. Everybody that's there is unhappy. Neymar's a complete tool. Why are you going to play at PSG? Anyway, I think we're going to lose Courtois. I think we're going to lose Antonio Conte. Mm-hmm. I think we are, I mean, Gary Cahill is essentially in his dying days as a Chelsea football man. That really worries me.
Who wins, Barca or Atletico?
Barca will be. And Barca's playing really good football right now. Even though I think Chelsea dominated Barca for much of that match. But Diego's playing pretty well for Atletico right now. So Barca, I think Barca probably wins that, but who cares? It's Spain. Spain's a terrible league. The Spanish league, no offense, La Liga is not much better than the French league. But I think Chelsea's in real trouble. We have City this weekend, Sunday at, I think it's 9 o'clock Mountain Time. It'll be interesting to see how Chelsea handles City. Are you going to get a similar performance against City that you got against, let's say, a Burnley, which was terrible?
Or Champions League?
I couldn't even. Right now, I think it's too. I think it's too early to say. You know, I PSG's out because of Neymar. But does Neymar is probably not even going to be in the World Cup.
No.
He's out months.
Yeah.
I don't know who's. I think it's too early. It's too early to say that. But my concern with Chelsea is that I don't know who you're playing. You play really well against Barca. You play really well against United over the weekend, but then you give that game away. You fall apart. You sub off Hazard for whatever reason. You play. I think Morata's in real trouble with our club. I think his days as a Chelsea man are going to be limited if he's not going to step up and play better football. I think Morata's in real trouble there. And the problem is that we're hearing all about an Eden Hazard contract extension, but we're not seeing it signed. And I think that's a huge problem. You need to get pen to paper with Eden Hazard. He's the best. I think he's the best. He's the best forward in the world. Creativity, skill, passing, dribbling, finishing, amazing. You know, and now everybody's raving about, oh, Willian left, Willian right, Willian's awesome. Willian's inconsistent. Willian is inconsistent. And yes, I agree. Periscope is saying Antonio Conte should stay at Chelsea. I agree. I'd love to see Antonio Conte stay here. He takes more shots at the frickin' Chelsea board in the last month. He's clearly unhappy. There is clearly a divide between Antonio Conte and the board. There's no way. Like, Roman Abramovich, I love my guy Roman, but this guy eats up managers every 2 years. Now, and I guess you can throw out Jose Mourinho because that's just who Jose is. He burns people out. But I mean, how many managers are we going to go through?
A lot.
It's really frustrating. It is. Honestly, it's really frustrating to see where Chelsea is and where Chelsea should be. Because we're out of the top four right now. Like, we're out of European football next year. And that's a real fucking problem. Like, you can't. How is it that Chelsea can finish behind a club like Liverpool? With all due respect to Liverpool, they're just a better club with no goalkeeper. They play terrible defense. They have unbelievable finishing capabilities, but they have no defense. Their midfield's wildly inconsistent, and they have no keeper. We've got one of the top three keepers in the world in Courtois. We've got a young, granted very young, but a defense that's been solid with Cahill out, Christensen in. The midfield is, in my opinion, you have N'Golo Kanté, who's one of the best midfielders in the world. I don't know. And again, Periscope asking, is City for real? Manchester City is the best club in the world right now. Now, they're going to have to prove it, because if it's not City, who is it? Barca? I don't know. Barca didn't look world-class against Chelsea. In London? 2 weeks ago, I guess I was. They didn't look world class at all, Barca. PSG without Neymar? No. I don't know what the hell, you know, Real's doing right now. You know, it'll be interesting. A lot of people think that City will be exposed in Champions League. I don't know what their weakness will be. Because up the middle of the pitch, they're unbelievable. They're getting really good keeper play right now. They're scoring goals. They're finishing. I mean, I don't know what their weakness would be. Those defensive lapses are gone. Their midfield is vastly improved, especially, you know, I could go on. I don't know what it is that you could call. Their defense is way better than it's been in the last decade. Has there been a better City defense, a better City back line than right now in the last decade? I don't remember it. You know, I just don't. Even when Company was at the top of his game, I don't remember their defense being this good ever. This consistent. Maybe not good. Their defense, City's defense, their back line is consistent right now. And as long as City's back line is consistent, they're going to be really good because you, as long as you can counterattack, Manchester City is going to shred you. Watch Chelsea this week. We've played pretty well defensively. Christensen had that one bobble against Barca in the Champions League that gave up the away goal, which is going to wind up kicking us right in the balls. You watch. That away goal that Barca got at the Bridge because of Christensen's bobble, which made it 1-1 instead of 1-0. That's going to be a huge difference maker. Because can you really think you're gonna go to Camp Nou and score goals? Not this team. Not with Morata up there. The other thing I don't want to hear anymore. Oh man, Morata, he's going back home, and I could care less. The guy is not in shape, not in form. Give me Olivier Giroud, right? Because as time goes on, are we really, really that much better than Arsenal is right now? And I know Arsenal's a disaster. They're going to wind up changing managers. That old bag of bones, that overrated Arsene Wenger is going to be out after this year. Should probably be canned right now. But are we really far off from that at Chelsea? I don't think we are. I really don't think we are. We are one terrible performance away from absolutely melting down. And I'll say it again. We're not good enough to win the Champions League. Prioritize the Premier League and finish top four. And then have a really kick-ass summer window. That's the only way that this team rights the ship. And I don't know. If Antonio leaves, I have no idea what Roman's going to do. There are managers out there, but nobody's a tactician that Antonio Conte is. Antonio! Nobody is. Okay, I feel better now. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.
Green salad down, last done, start, gotta tell the ground.